The jingle of bells as the door opens, the shuffle of menus, the gurgle of the coffee maker as it percolates, the sizzle of bacon, the call of "order up" echoing from the kitchen, the ancient ceiling fans creaking as they lazily spin, the chime of the cash register, the buzzing neon sign declaring open all night, its fluorescent haze casting out further as the sun gradually slips down below the horizon. Just a typical evening in a typical town at a typical diner. But, as we all know, there's nothing quite as dangerous as a pancake in the wrong hands. Welcome to Dread and Breakfast. Will this be to go, or will you be dining in with us tonight?
Dining in, please.
Hooray.
I would like a milkshake. Because, Christine, what fucking year is it?
We are going to the past, but we shall get there eventually. But first, let us introduce ourselves. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Dread and Breakfast. My name is Christine. I will be your DM for this evening.
Ooh.
And here at the table I have with me...
What's up, y'all? I'm Fob, and I will also be here at the table tonight.
Hello, I'm Marissa. I don't have a cool second half to that.
Jacob, also present.
And welcome to you, dear listener. Pull up a chair. We've got plenty of space at this booth.
Eee.
Do you need a chair at a booth? I don't know, but welcome either way.
I mean, if you're going to sit on the end.
Well, squeeze together. We have space for the listener.
Yes, oh, boy. In.
If you are new to Dread and Breakfast, hello, welcome. This is a friendly neighborhood RPG horror comedy podcast where we create stories using the game Dread, which is written by Epidiah Ravikal. Short and sweet, in Dread, the success of characters' actions is determined by pulling from a tower that is similar to but legally distinct from Jenga. If the tower is knocked over, a character is doomed and will be removed from the game. I also might have a few tricks up my sleeve for how we're going to play this evening. So.
Oh, ooh. Interesting. We're going off rules.
Just a little
I
bit.
Love
a little
it.
Bit of homebrew never hurt nobody. So with that out of the way, let us venture back to a place that is near and dear to all of us, Spillman, the town of Spillman. If you are not familiar with Spillman, might I suggest that you listen to story one of season two. This story will still make sense, but it'll hit way better, and you'll be way less confused about our world if you listen chronologically.
Yep.
That's true.
So now, without further ado,
Ooh. Take
a seat, relax, enjoy, as I set the scene. We are headed to Spillman. The year is 1958, a year of invention, tension, and progress. Eisenhower is president, the Cold War is brewing, and the civil rights era is reaching fever pitch in the fight for racial equality.
Woo!
NASA has just been established.
Oh, hell shit. Yeah.
Everyone is dancing the cha-cha, and hula hoops are taking the nation by storm. Barbie has made her debut.
Oh!
The country grieves as it is announced that Elvis has been drafted into the army.
Aw, boo!
He'll get out of it.
Far off in New York City, there is cause for celebration as the Guggenheim Museum opens and the Yankees win the World Series. Here in Spillman, people also celebrate, but for a slightly different reason. the annual Harvest Festival has come around once again.
Yay!
The Harvest Festival! The booths of popcorn and elephant ears and candied apples, the intricate decorations of pumpkins and corn stalks and gourds,
yes!
Wagon rides and corn mazes, and even new this year, a dunk tank.
Ooh!
There are musicians and the talent show and, of course, the annual drawing. In fact, the drawing is just about to take place at the main stage. The center of town is filled with hubbub and excitement as people gather and wonder, who will be chosen this year to spend the night at the Century Tree before returning with a new Colwood branch for the statue of George Spillman to bear for another year?
Shit.
Yes, the famous Century Tree, hidden deep in the woods near Lake Kestrel. But before we reach the tree, there's another beloved Spillman institution we must visit. At the very northern end of town, tucked into the foothills, unassuming and homey, sits the Broken Yoke, the most haunted diner this side of the Mississippi.
Oh, no!
Is that in the neon sign, in like an additional neon sign? Like they erected another one?
No, that's the very, very thin text at the bottom. People assume it's like a line underscoring Broken Yoke, but really it's just, we take no responsibility for what happens in here.
You have to sign a waiver. That's what signing the check is, really.
Yeah, that's what, yes!
I usually sign my waivers towards the end of activities. So.
Yeah.
Well, regardless of when the waivers are signed, the Broken Yoke is a true jewel of Spillman. Its exterior clad in chrome and lined with neon. The second any soul stumbles through the door, it instantly becomes clear why this place is so beloved. Every detail of this diner is delightful. Black and white checkerboard floor, ruby red booths lining the wall of windows for those who wish and sit and stay for a spell. And, of course, the classic countertop stretching the length of the joint, swiveling stools providing a front row seat for the 24-hour magic show occurring on the vast cooktop just a few feet away. In the corner, a rounded jukebox plays hit after hit. Elvis. Connie Francis. The Everly Brothers. Nat King Cole.
Yes!
Overhead, a ceiling fan lazily wafts the comforting scent of bacon grease and pancakes throughout the diner. The walls are covered in Spillman memorabilia, pictures of the diner itself through the years, and metal signs that quip things like, Pepsi Cola, a big okay from the USA. Or, if you feed them, they will come. And... don't swear before the ladies. Let them swear first.
That's very good.
Also on the wall, a prominently framed newspaper clipping with the headline, Visitors and locals alike flock to Haunted Diner. We zoom in and you read, the clipping goes on to describe how spirits at this diner are said to act up in delightfully mischievous ways ever since the doors opened back in the 20s. Despite being a small town off the beaten path, tourists on road trips across the country will make a point of stopping in Spillman, or sometimes even plan specific trips just to frequent the Broken Yoke, all in the hopes of an experience with the beyond.
Fuck yeah.
A thrilling sensation, a hint of something else, a touch from a spirit or two that inhabits this humble diner. But don't get it wrong, this joint is so much more than just a tourist trap. All of Spillman loves this diner, and the locals frequent here just as much, if not more, than out-of-towners. All are welcome here. The Broken Yoke is comforting, it's lived in and homey, with love tucked into each nook and cranny. It's clean, it's welcoming, it's always open, always there. Time and time again, Spillmanites and visitors have learned that there's not much that can't be solved with a comforting plate of eggs and hash browns.
Fuck yeah. Christine, I just ate so many fucking tacos and now I immediately want pancakes. Like,
now I want tacos.
Taco pancakes. Ah, damn.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shoot.
All right, pause the podcast. We gotta go do a thing.
A woman bustles out from the back, pausing momentarily in front of a mirror to adjust the cat-eye glasses perched on her nose. She wears a light blue waitress dress, an oval name tag pinned on her chest. This is Josie Warner, the proprietor of the Broken Yolk. Right next to the mirror hangs an old picture of a couple outside the front of the diner, each holding a hand of young Josie, their daughter, who stands between them. Adult Josie gives the picture frame a quick caress before her attention is drawn towards a table of teenagers, all giggling loudly and squirming in their seats, clutching their sides. Josie smiles as she approaches. Ah, they're always fans of a good tickle fight. And she gestures broadly before looking up and around towards the ceiling. All right now, that's enough. You're going to make these kids laugh and gas themselves to death. And suddenly, a gentle gust of wind comes out of nowhere, breezing through the diner despite the closed windows. The tickle battle has ended at Josie's words. Do y'all know what you'd like?
Oh my god.
The now stunned teens sheepishly order a round of milkshakes, and Josie writes down their order in looping shorthand on a green pad of paper. Not even a moment later, the paper rips along its perforation and begins floating gracefully through the diner, heading back towards the counter and the vast cooktop behind it.
Fuck yeah! What?
As the order flutters along, we see a figure preparing for the approaching dinner hour. Marissa.
Oh, shit. Hello.
Who is this?
So you see a woman who is a bit like late middle age, like maybe, oh, people are gonna be mad at me for saying that, like late 50s early 60s.
That's middle age,
is it? Right?
Like,
yeah, right? Yeah,
if
yeah,
you
okay,
live to 150 would be the middle.
Okay, that's fair. I just, every old person that I say that to gets really offended and I feel bad. But so you see that she is coming in from the back door. She has her hair that is more gray than brown at this point, swept up and under a hairnet. And you are about to meet Winnie Gindelsperger. And now I've been working as the Yolk's cook for longer than it takes a corn stalk to fly. And let me just walk you through my routine. So I head into the kitchen through the back, as I said, put on my apron, which is pristine. By the way, you will not catch a spot of grease on me, no sir. And I have my hairnet and start things off first thing, of course, a bit of inventory. I pop back into our deep freeze. Nothing like a blast of refrigerated air to get these old bones going, let me tell you. And have a glance around. Looks like we're pretty well stocked, this tonight being the festival and all. Now the second thing, coffee. I don't care if it's 5 p.m. I brew a mean cup of joe better than my mama ever could, especially with these new filter machines. So I make a new pot, smelling that rich, dark blend, and don't tell anybody, but I throw just a pinch of cinnamon in it. It's a special occasion. And well, the regular batch is brewing, I turn to our other machine, our decaf machine, and I keep my eye on the decaf because our regulars like to mess with the decaf every now and again. Speaking of our regulars, lest I forget before I hop on the line, I complete my usual ritual for them. They listen to Josie more than me, but I like to suck up when I can, which is every day. And so I grab a shingle with a shimmy and a shake. That's some bread with elderberry jam, yes, homemade, yes, of course, and a cup of black coffee for them, and walk it out front. See that bar stool at the end of the line? That is reserved for the regulars. I mean, that's what I call these supernatural snick and snoodles. They are here often enough anyway. So I leave them my little offering, straighten my apron, and then I hop on the line. Oh, shoot, the decaf. The decaf, Christine, I checked the decaf. Is it cold?
Oh, absolutely it is.
Damn
cold,
it.
Without a doubt. Immediately it has turned cold. The machine is still on and producing heat, yet somehow the liquid inside of the carafe is ice cold.
Winnie just kind of like good-naturedly sighs, and she grabs a kitchen towel and starts like waving it around the air as she approaches the decaf, and she's like, coyotes and copperheads, I don't have time for your antics tonight. This is going to be a big rush. Now, I'm going to brew this again, please go tickle some other teenagers. And I dump that out. I start rebrewing it again.
Amazing. Well, as the second round of decaf is brewing, Marissa, can you please make an introduction poll for Winnie?
Yes, I sure can. I forgot how stressful it was being on this side of it. You DM one story and you get cocky.
I honestly think it would require a level of talent to knock the tower over at this point.
Yeah.
I did it.
Marissa, have you considered sacrificing yourself?
For the decaf? Fucking maybe. This is like an ongoing war that Winnie has with the regulars.
I think that's the only way you can keep it from getting cold.
But we'll see. Maybe the regulars will behave. Now, clarifying question, is the regulars just something that like only Winnie refers to them as the regulars? Or has this been like adopted by the parlance of everybody here?
I think it's something that Winnie definitely started. Mm-hmm. And Winnie is the type of person to not really give a shit what people do with her genius. So I'm sure a couple of like the human regulars have adopted that.
Human regulars.
Yeah, you know, the lowercase r regulars, not the uppercase r regulars.
Yes, yes, lowercase r regulars for sure. Perhaps we will meet a few of them in a bit. So, Winnie, you put on a second pot of decaf, cross your fingers, hope that the regulars, capital R, will be assuaged by your daily offering. You head over to the griddle, you throw a few pieces of bacon down there, and you are keeping a close eye on this bacon because people all around Spilma know if Winnie is behind the counter, you are going to get the best, most perfectly cooked bacon imaginable. But there was one time when that wasn't true. Just once. What was happening?
So I think it was Winnie's first like harvest festival rush many years ago. She did not necessarily start with the skills that she has now. Her being hired was definitely an act of charity on Josie's part. And she tried... something a little more nuanced with the bacon, like a different blend of spices and smoking. And she wasn't very good at the cutting part yet. So there were slices that were very thick and slices that were very thin. Mm. And there were a group of very well-to-do members of maybe it was the Spillmans, I think. I think like the Spillman family came in. Mm. And she was so flustered trying to get everything perfect and still trying to catch on to the lingo, like they wanted two dots and a dash and a wrecked hen with fruit. What is going on? And so she was flustered, and then as she was trying to flip the bacon, the regulars would flip it for her, and then she'd be like, well, it's not ready yet. And it was just a war, and some of the thinner strips started to burn, and the whole diner was filled with smoke at a certain point.
Which
chased some people out. And it took her a good couple days to wash that smell of smoke out of her hair, and quite a bit longer to wash the embarrassment out of her soul, I guess. But I think after that point is when Winnie started leaving those little offerings for them of like, I'm sorry, please don't do that again.
Yeah. And I think the spirits that inhabit this diner, they are known for their mischief. So perhaps they've relented a little bit from messing with the food that you're attempting to make. But even as you're cooking now, all these years later, there's still some games and distractions happening. Marissa, can you roll a d6 for me, please?
Oh, ooh. Yes, I can.
Dice in dread?
Imagine that.
I'm a little afraid, actually. I have rolled a 4.
You've rolled a 4. Ah, okay. With a 4, you're cooking this bacon, you're attempting to stay focused, and as you're flipping it, you start to taste a bit of that like smoky taste in your mouth, and you give a double take to the bacon. You've just flipped it. There's no way it's burning, but still you taste this taste in your mouth, and it just kind of makes you like you need a drink of something. And so you head over to pour yourself a cup of coffee. Make a pull.
Oh, no.
This is apropos, though, because in real life, if I drink coffee on an empty tummy, I start shaking like a chihuahua. So maybe the same thing happens to Winnie.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. Well, with a successful poll, wouldn't you know it, the decaf is still warm.
Yes!
The regulars have left it alone. So you pour yourself a cup of decaf so that you will not be shaking like a chihuahua. You take a sip of it to get that taste out of your mouth.
As she like notices that it's warm, it like clocks for her of like, oh, so instead of messing with my decaf, you're messing with my taste buds. All right. And she'll take the coffee, go back on the line, pull a cigarette out of her apron and light it on the stove and just start smoking it because it's the 50s, baby.
It is the 50s, baby.
She will call out to Josie and be like, hey, Josie, honey, these regulars are more ornery than a marinated mule's toe. Can you tell them to let me do my work, please?
Well, I'll do what I can, Winnie, but you know, they listen to me about as much as they listen to anybody.
Now, sweetheart, we both know that's not true. Just say please for me. I'm trying.
All right, y'all. Let's best leave Winnie alone so she can get her work done for once. And you don't know if it's the coffee or the cigarette, but that taste recedes from your mouth and you are once again left on the line in peace. Josie, you've noticed she had looked up from her book to talk to you. She'd been standing at the hostess station. And so she puts an errand receipt in her book and closes it and comes over to talk to you. And she says, you know, Winnie, it's so nice that you were willing to switch shifts with Freddie. I know that he was so excited to be in the talent show this year. He doesn't usually get to in the Harvest Festival because he's usually on dinner shift. So I just thank you for doing that.
Oh, yeah, Josie, you know, it's no problem. I prefer cooking breakfast, and she, like, cracks her knuckles. I think my dinner shift skills are still pretty good. What's his talent? He didn't tell me that. I tried to get it out of him, but he's,
Oh, he didn't tell you? It's chopping food real quick.
Oh, well, no wonder he wanted me to work tonight, because I would have whooped his behind if that was a talent. Can't believe that man.
Well, you can't blame him for trying.
Oh, I can. Have you seen his technique? Trees don't grow up from shadowed soil.
He's been practicing. You know, he's been practicing. I came into the back into the kitchen the other day, and I could hardly see because I was crying so much because he was chopping them onions right quick.
And he did. Now, Josie, honey, he chopped up too many onions. That's all we had to run that special French onion soup tonight.
But, you know, by the looks of it, I think people are enjoying it. And you do see, like, there are not a ton of people in the diner right now because most people are down at the Harvest Festival. The drawing is about to happen, which is, like, the most exciting part of the first day of the Harvest Festival. But there are people here, a couple people who are enjoying the French onion soup. It's delicious.
Well, the witch will have her way, I guess. And I start flipping bacon.
And as you do, Josie goes over to the coffee maker to, you know, start another carafe brewing. She opens the carafe and takes out the metal basket. She fills the bottom chamber with water and then pauses a moment, looks over at the jar of coffee grounds with an almost expectant look on her face. And then it happens. The jar lifts off the counter, floating in the air, tips forward towards the basket that is now also levitating.
Oh my God.
And the perfect amount of coffee pours with perfect aim from the jar into the basket. Not a single ground spilled. And the basket slips right into the carafe now ready to brew. Thank you kindly, she says. And the jar settles back onto the counter. And you know, Winnie, you are right. The spirits do listen to her a little more than anyone. She will deny it.
But a little?
Yo, what the fuck? A little?
If anyone else had attempted this feat, it may not have gone over so easily. But Josie simply pops the lid back onto the percolator, flips the switch, and walks away.
I think Winnie kind of like watches this with a side eye, does a and like blows a long like drag out of her cigarette, and she's like, I brought out the elderberry jam for you this morning. I'm just saying. Unappreciated in my time.
So we leave Winnie kind of stewing in her own, you know, self-righteousness, a little concern, a little jealousy maybe. And a ticking clock on the wall whirs to life as we drift into the top of the hour, marking 5 p.m. And in a duet with the sonorous tolling, the bell above the door clatter chimes, and an old couple shuffles in through the door, bickering at each other in the loving way that very old couples do. The man holds the door open for the woman, who crosses the threshold, chattering at him. And once inside, she sticks her arms out straight behind her, still speaking nonstop as she does so. And gently her coat begins to glide off of her, and it drips over and hangs up on the coat stand to her left.
Oh my God.
She then heads straight for the first booth by the window, not missing a beat of her winding story. And the man follows soon behind, and while he doesn't remove his jacket, his plaid flat cap hat lifts off his head and finds home on the same hook as his wife's coat.
Oh my God.
Fabrice, who are these lovely people?
Oh my God.
They are Ron and Lita, two very, very good old people.
Oh my God, wait, are you both of them?
Yes, I am a hive mind.
Homebrew.
Welcome.
Homebrew.
Oh my God.
So we walk in. Oh, that's going to take some getting used to referring to myself like that. It's fine. When the regulars take Ron's hat, he does kind of grumble, "My dang hat, too? It's cold in here sometimes, you know?"
And with that, the cap, like, it plucks off of the stand immediately and floats back onto your hat and places gently back on your head.
"Now that's what I call service." I go and I sit down next to my wife.
My wife. I'm going to give you like an 8-time cap for that goof.
8
that's
in the whole story?
Unlistenable, Fabrice. Right,
also, right. I don't think Borat existed yet.
Borat is a timeless creature,
true.
If you think about it. So I go and sit next to my wife. That doesn't count. I am... We were just having the most delightful conversation about the drawing that had just happened.
"Oh, well, isn't it just the most wonderful thing? A little boy being picked to do who knows what in the woods all on his own? What a great story he'll have for the rest of his life. I tell you, Lita, I think that kid's going to get scared out of his wits all night long.
Aww.
He's going to hear the coyotes. He's going to hear the deer. They're going to sneak up on him like ghosts in the woods.
Deer
are scary motherfuckers, let me tell you with it. Deer going to get you. They're coming for you. They're coming for my garden. That's for sure."
So, Ron and Lita, you two are chatting about the boy who was chosen in the drawing, and Josie comes over with two mugs already in hand. "Hello, you two. Ron, for you, dark as the night out there and just brewed. And for you, Lita, 12 sugar cubes and 13 stirs counterclockwise."
"Why, you just know just how to make them for us.
I do declare, Josie, that is just a marvel that you can remember so much."
"I've been doing it my whole life, and anything for you two, you're my top priority."
"Well, don't you just know what to say to warm these old people's hearts?"
"Did you two stop by the Harvest Festival before dinner?"
"Of course. We couldn't have missed it. It was just the most wonderful thing. We saw the kids bobbing for apples. We had some of the spiced apple cider. It was just such a marvelous place, you know? My favorite time of year.
Can't beat a Harvest Festival, you know? Not in Spillman. There's no better time."
"No better time indeed. Well, I hope y'all didn't fill up too much on apple cider and apple fritters and apple everything."
"Of course not, Josie. You know we'd never fill up on that sort of stuff. We always come by the broken yolk."
"Ah, that's right. So, what are you be having tonight?" And she has the tiniest trace of a smirk on her face as she says this.
I think both of us would have clocked that Winnie is working back.
Mm-hmm.
Which changes our order drastically, of
course. Oh, does it?
Really?
Oh, yes. No, Winnie. Ain't nobody know how to cook bacon like Winnie do.
That's for sure.
You see her, like, raise her cigarette, like, up and, like, acknowledgement and just put it right back and start frying it up.
Both of them, like, raise their cups to raise their coffees to you.
The fan, like, spins a little bit faster.
Interesting. That's normal for us, though, right? Like, this is all like...
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. All right, cool.
It just like spins faster briefly and then goes back to its slow creaking.
It's like it went up to speed 3 and then went back down to speed 1, but nobody clicked the clicker.
A bit of acknowledgement of the excitement of the fact that Winnie is at the grill top this evening.
Oh, we are excited that Winnie's here. Okay,
we're so
good.
Excited that Winnie's here.
I mean, of course. That's going to change our order. I believe I'm going to have breakfast for dinner. T-bone steak and eggs, please. With, of course, 3 strips of bacon.
You got it. And for you, Lita?
Now, I was going to do a Belgian waffle, but, you know, I think I'm in the mood for the spiced apple pancakes.
Sure. The Harvest Festival special that we got going on. I'll let Winnie know.
Thank you kindly.
Anytime. And so Josie waltzes off to convey your order, and Ron, you look at Lita, your beautiful Lita, your life's Aww. Love, your bride. The many decades that you've been together show on her face, deeply wrinkled with a few age spots across her cheeks. But the longevity of your bond, your commitment to each other, allows you to look past all that time has taken. Her beauty emanates from within, it always has. You see her humor, her joy, her gentle strength that's been an anchor for you all these years. What a lucky man you are, you think, as you take a sip of your coffee.
I do think that.
Lita, you look at Ron mid-sip, his bushy old man eyebrows peeking out over the
yes.
rim of the mug.
They're big, big caterpillars.
Held in slightly trembling hands, withered with time and years of hard work. But then he lowers the mug and he's gazing at you, his eyes bright and shining, overgrown with a look of love. You try to come up with the number of meals that you've shared together at the Broken Yoke, but it's a number you lost track of a long time ago. Like your love, this place seems to transcend time. The lights of the jukebox in the back corner flash, and the song changes, though of course no one had gone over there to select a new song. But you hear an old melody, one that has become part of the familiar soundtrack here at the Broken Yoke. Ah, this song takes you back. You think of the diner's earlier days, when Josie's parents were still around. What memory of that time is stirred for you two in this moment?
Yes, I love love. Yes, yes.
I think it is one of our many times here. We've already lost count of the number of times we've come into the Broken Yoke. It's mm-hmm. already like a second home to us. It's Aww. So warm and comforting, and we both just love the charm of the place. And what we remember is, yeah, as Josie kind of like walks away, as Winnie is like starting up on our order, we remember a time back when Josie was like so much younger, and she was like sitting in a booth in the corner, and she's just doing homework as her parents are running the diner because it was mm-hmm. theirs to start. We're just like two old lovebirds that have been, you know, married forever at this point already, and like out of the corner of our eyes, just watching as her parents will come by, and like in between waiting tables, they'll come and like they'll help her with her homework or they'll check something for her. We see her not always working on her homework, but like studying them, watching them, seeing what they're doing, like learning from them. We've never been able to have kids of our own, so it's like kind of a beautiful thing for us to watch this family interact and like this like family dynamic that we have never been able to have.
And I think that's the hallmark of your relationship to this place and to the people who have run this place and called this place home. You've been regulars basically since day one. You've always had your usual booth, and you truly had a front row seat of watching Josie grow over the years. At first, she would hand you a menu with her chubby baby fist held on the hip of her mother. And then she, as she grew older, she would start to take down orders phonetically as she learned to write and spell. And you remember hearing Winnie attempt to translate her scribbles, reading them aloud phonetically with all of the little quirks of how children write when they're first learning. And eventually she started pouring you cups of Joe, and she was finally old enough to manage that haunted coffee maker. And it was also as if the restaurant itself grew to appreciate your presence, Ron and Lita. And the spirits would slowly shift over the years from their usual hijinks to more subtle acts of assistance and hospitality, because you became part of this restaurant as well.
I think one of the times that sticks out to us that we remember is almost more recent, within the past maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
We're getting a bit more frail in our old age, and one of us tripped. And one of the chairs, like, moved out on its own.
Yeah.
And we were able to catch ourselves on the chair. Like, it was like a walker, almost. And that was a moment for both of us where we, you know, this place had always kind of felt like a sort of home. When that happened, that was kind of both of us realizing, oh, maybe this place, like, is a second home.
Absolutely. Yeah, so you're remembering, you know, this gentle adoption almost that this diner has had of you two, that you now call it home.
Absolutely.
And as you're remembering this, the melody on the jukebox, it shifts towards a more plaintive tone, and you're thrown into a new memory, or a different memory, of an awful time, the awful accident. You remember sitting in the empty diner attempting to console 18-year-old Josie through a truly inconsolable trial, the loss of her parents. It was such a strange time of grief, as if the whole diner was thrown off kilter. The spirits became wildly unpredictable, quiet one day and then overturning tables seemingly out of nowhere. Business suffered, and Josie fretted about the future of this place, the legacy left to her by her parents. And you knew that you couldn't bring them back, obviously. But what did you do in that time?
We comforted her as best we could. I mean, we've watched her grow up since she was, you know, a child. And we promise her that we will always be there for her. If she needs someone, she can come to us.
Mm.
Now, we're not trying to take the place of your parents. That's not something we can really do.
That's not something anyone can do. No one can ever do that. But
what we can do is, well, we can always be there for you. We can make sure that you're taken care of. And if you need a parent-like figure, you can always come to us. We're happy to help, and we want you to know that we think of you as family.
And you remember the just wave of tears that flowed down Josie's face when you said that, and she launched herself into your arms, and you just held her in this long embrace, and she said, I love you both so much.
And we love you.
And we both kind of, you know, it's a group hug.
And the years passed, and your presence at the diner and that love that you three share for each other only grew, and your presence in Josie's life became more and more of a constant. And with time, life began to right itself again. The spirits settled back into their usual routines, business picked back up, and Josie received various offers from others in town to purchase the Broken Yoke.
Oh, it was the Bankertons, wasn't it? It was the fucking Bankertons. They want to buy out everything. This is my dark theory about this film.
100%.
Some of them maybe wanted to, you know, take over the town and all of its businesses. Some thought that maybe Josie wanted to attend college. Some thought perhaps it wasn't a woman's role to run a business on her own.
Boo.
But to all, Josie had said no. This place, it's filled with the essence of her parents, with their love for their family, and now your love for each other, and all of this love of this humble work infused into the very structure of this building. How could Josie ever leave this place? And the song on the jukebox changes again to something more modern, and you're brought gently back to the present as Josie emerges again from the kitchen, this time bringing your dinner with her. And she places the plates in front of you, piping hot, delicious as always.
Oh, why, thank you, dearie. How have you been this evening? How's business been this very night?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, Lita. You know, it's always good to have Winnie here, and, you know, I expect that the dinner rush is going to be quite large after the drawing's over.
I should hope so. It was quite the thing. Many people stayed after to talk long about who exactly was picked this year. Mm-hmm. We left early to beat the crowd.
It's good you did. Enjoy your meals. So Ron and Lita, you two dive into your meals. And as they do that, Fob, I would like you to make your introductory pulls.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Wait. And what?
While you're doing that, I want to take a moment to discuss a little bit of mechanics and how Fabrice will be playing these two.
Oh,
we've
shit.
Done a smidge of homebrewing on the dread rolls here. Both characters are under Fabrice's control, and mechanically we've agreed ahead of time that this will mean that any activity that Ron and Lita attempt together will require a standard amount of pulls, but any activity attempted apart or individually will require double pulls.
Oh.
We've grown together so close, we just don't know what to do without the other.
Yes.
I call it sweet, but some might call it crippling codependency.
At this age, who can tell?
A little bit of both. So he's making two pulls now, but in the future, he might only need to make one.
Yes. So it'll be two pulls because we are introducing two characters. But from here on out, any activity together, standard amount of pulls. Any activity separate will be double pulls.
That's so cool.
You better believe that when I try to stab a man later, my wife's going to help me. I don't know how, but she will.
Yeah.
I'll trip him.
Just to kind of like be clear, we've also agreed ahead of time that if, God forbid, one character is removed from the game,
oh my God,
the other will have to continue on making double pulls.
Because I'll just be so distraught. Or maybe I'll be distraught, you old coot. I could live and you could die. I'll outlive you, Lita. No, you won't.
Who's to say? But that is how we will manage Ron and Lita in this story.
That's fucking awesome.
Thank you.
So, Christine.
Yes.
The dreaded. I have made my pulls.
Excellent.
But I have not rolled a die yet.
Oh.
That's true. That has not happened yet for you. But, you know, we shall see.
You're not... Marissa gets to... All right, listener, I'm being attacked right now. Listener, I'm being bullied.
Dice will come in their good time. Don't you worry, my darling Fabrice.
Just know that I'm antsy.
So as you're eating your food, Winnie's kind of at, you know, the cooktop, like working on another order, but with a side eye, making sure that you approve of her craftsmanship. And she will call out to you and say, "Evening, Ron. Evening, Lita. You said, something about a kid being picked."
Oh, yeah, it's the worst thing ever. I think it's great. I think it's a wonderful adventure for the young lad. Lita, I tell you, it's terrible.
Well, who's kid? Who is it?
One of the Bankerton fellas? I'm not exactly sure who.
We'll sprinkle coal dust on my grave. Ain't that the damnedest thing?
Well, the thing is, it's so interesting that you would bring up the Bankertons. Speak of the devil.
Oh, they're devils now.
The chime of the bell rings out through the diner again, and the next patron enters, searching, perhaps even hungry. "Have a seat wherever you'd like. I'll be with you in just a moment, darling." Josie calls over her shoulder. And Jacob, who is she speaking to?
Jacob!
It's me. Hi. It's Chip Bankerton.
Chip Bankerton. That's a fucking name.
Like the poker chips you gamble.
Hi. Chip Bankerton, it's me.
I mean, I'm just like one of the guys in the office, pretty much. It's my dad. who's running the business, but sure, I mean...
Your dad's the devil. Got it.
So how is Chip doing in this moment as he enters the diner? And also, what do you look like?
I mean, like a dad, like slacks, button-up shirt. It's the weekend, so not a tie right now, but like a dude.
Chip, how are you doing in this moment?
I mean, I'm here. I'm holding it together, but I'm a little... I think you could probably tell I'm a little frazzled, or whatever word a man would use to say frazzled in the 50s.
I probably... He's trying not to show it on his face, but that's how he's feeling on the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Chip, you scan the diner for an open seat. Most of Spillman is still back down at the town square because after the drawing comes the talent show.
Yeah!
But the Broken Yoke is rarely, if ever, empty. A few tables are taken up by that group of teens. There's that old couple that's here every single time you've ever come in. And then in the corner, you see a family. A mother, a father, and their son and daughter. But they're happy, carrying on, eating pancakes for dinner, and delighting as their plates lift up and down, circling around each other in an intricate dance. The kids look so small, sitting next to their parents, so safe, so happy. You feel a brief flash of panic boil up in your stomach as you can't help but think of your own son, who you just said goodbye to before you came to the diner. Your head feels like it's caught in a haze. Chip, what's going through your mind right now?
I mean, I'm probably going through and replaying that moment. I wasn't really paying attention. I mean, the drawing happens every year. It's whatever. I was hanging out with the guys. Having a drink, but then I heard my name, or I guess my son's name, and he is the one they drew, and at that moment everything kind of went a little fuzzy, a little blurry, a little panicked, and we took the picture for the paper with the family, and I knelt down and said to him, all right, so you know where you're going, son, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Great. I'm sure you'll do a great job.
Dad, I'm scared.
You'll be fine. It's just a night in the woods. Kids play out at the century tree all the time anyway, and I was going to have dinner at the diner, so I'll just be at the diner anyway. You can. It's just a shout away. If anything goes wrong, you can just holler, and I'll hear you, I'm sure.
But Dad, Timmy told me that he heard from Johnny that the witch is out there at the century tree and that she's going to get me.
That's just an old myth that they tell, like the spooky stories around the campfire, or like the ghosts at the diner. It's all just a trick, to all in good fun. You'll be fine. It's just running out to a tree and grabbing a stick. It's no big deal.
I have to stay there all night, Dad.
Yeah, it's like camping. You liked camping, right?
Yeah, we did it with the Boy Scouts. That was fun.
Yeah, it's just like spooky camping.
Spooky? But I thought you said the witch wasn't going to be there.
She's not. Spooky in, like, scary ghost stories. Like, not really scary, just we all say it's scary to have something to do because we're bored. You know, spooky.
Spooky. Dad?
Yes, son?
Can we eat pancakes afterwards?
Of course.
And after that, the mayor had taken Chip Jr.'s hand very gently and led him away to prepare for his night in the woods. And you went directly to the diner where you said you would be, where you would camp out the whole night, waiting to be there in case your son needed you. Suddenly, you feel a hand on your shoulder.
Chip Pinkerton, right? Good to see you, sir.
Oh, hi. Jody, right? How's it going?
The name's Josie.
Right. Yeah, great.
She kind of squints at you in concern. Why don't you take a seat just over here and we could get you something to drink?
and she leads you towards a corner booth next to the jukebox. And as you sit down, a variety of cups and mugs and pitchers and carafes fly over towards the table and they hover near you. Josie says nothing but gestures towards this grouping. What'll it be?
Oh, that's new. I'm sure that brings in the tourists. just a water would be great to start. And what's the special?
A cup glides towards you and the pitcher pours out the clearest, most crystal water you've ever seen. Well, we got our Harvest Festival apple pancakes. I think we've got Winnie, what else is on special? What are you cooking up tonight?
Freddy's French onion soup and the beef Wellington was vetoed, so we have a nice chicken cordon bleu.
French onion soup and chicken cordon bleu?
Yeah, cordon bleu sounds all right. I'll do that with a side of mashed potatoes and a butter salad,
yes,
please.
Yes.
Oh my god.
How dare you?
She writes butter salad in like the most beautiful script ever. And again, the paper rips off of her pad and floats back towards Winnie. Winnie, what do you do when you see the words butter salad?
I pause and I take a long drag. Like I finish my cigarette. Mr. Bankerton. I take it you've had the pleasure of eating at a Spillman residence. That recipe is closely guarded. I don't know what the hell that is. So can I get you a Caesar?
I'm sure Ron and Lita, you've experienced the butter salad and you hear this exchange. Do you have any wisdom butter salad
wisdom
related
to give Winnie about butter salad?
Yeah.
I'm delighted that this has been a linchpin to the season already.
Oh, of course.
Thing.
Butter salad is the hill we all die on. do we have wisdom to part to give Winnie on the ways of butter salad?
Like, I can fake my own recipe, but whatever sauce they use, I can't recreate. So if you have any insight onto, is it Worcestershire? Is it mustard?
Oh, it's Worcestershire.
See, I tried that.
Well, that's what Ron says. And then Lita, I thought it was soy? Some kind of, I don't know. I don't think I cared for it.
Fabrice, roll me a d6.
Oh.
Now?
Oh.
Yes.
I do the prompt that you told me to do, and now I get to, all right, dance for you, I will.
It's not because of my prompt, it's because of how you responded to it.
Interesting.
Say soy sauce, roll dice. Roger that.
Oh, I think I have a theory, actually. Interesting.
I got a one.
You got a one. Oh, perfect. Lita, as you say soy sauce, you feel like a warm spot on your lower back. Like it's warm and delightful and just like, you know that like soy sauce is correct. That this is an essential ingredient to butter salad.
What?
We are building the myth.
Oh my god, how do the regulars know what butter salad is?
The butter, I'm pretty sure, is in there.
No, I am sure that it is soy sauce as the secret ingredient. Perchance I shouldn't be hollering this secret out loud.
Winnie's already scribbling it down, like in her like own like personal chef's cookbook, like soy sauce, underline, underline, underline.
Well, Kat was gonna get out of the bag sooner or later, I suppose.
I'm pretty sure there's no cat in it.
Now, of that, I am certain.
So while this exchange is happening, Chip, you notice that Josie has still been, like, studying your face. Like, she's still looking at you. And she says, I'm sorry, I just can't help but reckon that you look like you've seen a ghost.
Oh, yeah, like the notepad and stuff. It's a, it's a great trick, Josie.
Even before that, when you walked in, you looked like something's going on. You want to tell me what's going on?
No, it's nothing. It's just my boy was picked for the thing in the woods. And he's, you know, he's a little young for that. But I'm sure he'll do great. He's a strong young lad.
Chip, are you at a table? Are you at a booth? Are you at the counter?
Counter?
You're at the corner booth near the jukebox.
Corner booth.
Corner booth.
I was entirely wrong. The opposite of the counter.
I think getting up is too extreme at this moment.
I don't think it is.
Oh my god, no wait, that's right. I forgot. I'm old people. I have to get all up in literally everyone's business all of the time, no matter
yes.
what. All right. So you're sat down, you guys are having this conversation. As you're having this conversation, of course, Ron and Lita are just creeping closer. We've left our booth behind, and we're just like edging closer and closer to you. We saw you down at the choosing. I'm terribly sorry, sir. I didn't get your name.
Oh yeah, sorry, Chip Bankerton, and I'm sorry. I know. I'm sure I've met you at some point, but I can't remember your name.
I'm Rodolphus, but everyone calls me Ron. And this here, of course, is my beautiful wife, Lita. Charmed, I'm sure.
Yeah, nice to meet you guys again. I'm just gonna sit here and read the paper, if that's all right. But have a good evening.
I can understand how this might be a troubling time for you. So if you'd like company or someone to listen in on any thoughts you might be having, we'll just be over there. We stay a while, and sharing hard times is what makes them not so hard, you know?
You know, Ron's right. And Mr. Bankerton, if there's one thing we do here at the Broken Yoke, it's comfort. So you just sit right there and don't worry about anything. We're open all night so you can keep a little vigil here, just like your boy will be out by the tree. So you know me, I'm Josie. That there's Winnie. And she points over to Winnie behind the counter.
I raise my spatula.
You just let us know if you need anything, all right? And don't you worry. I know the sheriff keeps close watch on Harvest Festival nights. Your boy's just as safe out there as he would be right in here.
Thanks, Jody.
Josie.
Right.
Like my name tag said.
Jacob, I fucking love this bit.
Thank you.
So, Chip, can you please make me your introductory
call?
Yeah.
If I refuse, do I just not exist?
I think you just have a terrible time.
Yeah, you have like a big consequence that occurs.
You poof out of existence.
All right, there you go.
All right. Thank you, Jacob, Chip, for making your introductory polls. The diner settles into the usual routine. Winnie is hard at work behind the counter. Ron and Lita, you are chattering up a storm, maybe talking to a few other people in the diner. Chip, you're sitting with your chicken cordon bleu and your newspaper, keeping vigil. And I'm going to ask everybody to roll me a d6, please.
Ooh.
Do I roll twice?
No. You okay. Just roll once.
Interesting.
I've rolled my favorite die, and it is a 6.
I also rolled a 6.
I got a 3.
Okay. Ooh, this is interesting. Okay. The diner is yours. Wait.
That's it?
Oh.
Wait, no, we don't get... Wait, hold on.
I hate that. I hate that. What did I do? What cosmic right. behind the scenes bullshit did I just do?
Christine Fuck. Has random tables.
One seems to do something.
Uh-huh. And 4 did something.
I mean, everything does something.
Although you just now rolled a 4, right? And 4 did nothing.
No, I rolled a 3, and 3 did nothing.
Yet.
Oh, is it an if-then table? Is it a tree of a table of trees?
Let's not worry about mechanics, and let's just enjoy the diner. What's everybody doing?
We're just both old coots. We left our food half-eaten at the table...
That hurts Winnie's heart so deeply.
We're coming back to it. Don't you worry, hon. We're just going to go around and talk to everybody.
The food's only good when it's hot.
That's the thing, though, is the regulars. You know how they can make the decaf cold?
The decaf.
Make me a pull.
Oh, shit. I will pull for this. This is amazing. Like Winnie's like white whale is like if she can get through a shift without the decaf going cold once, she can die a happy woman. And it's never fucking happened.
Well, wait, haven't you already failed at that because the decaf was cold in the beginning?
Yes, but now it's a matter of fucking principle.
Ah, successful pull. The decaf, though it is half empty, is not as warm as prior. As one would expect for a half-empty carafe of coffee. There is a natural cooling that has occurred, but it seems to be, with the amount of time that passes, this checks out.
this checks out, except that the regular coffee never goes cold, even when there's a drop in there. Josie, honey, I'm caught up on orders. I'm going to take a quick five, so that's all right. And I pull out another cigarette, light it on the stove, because it's a power move and I love it. And I would like to grab an extra slice of rhubarb pie, and I want to go set it in front of Mr. Chip Bankerton.
Yeah.
As I walk, I like look over my shoulder, like put my fingers to my eyes, put my fingers on the decaf, and put my fingers back in my eyes as like a, I know what you're doing. Go bother someone else. And then I will go over and set the pie down in front of Chip and take a seat in the booth across from him and kind of lean back, take a drag of my cigarette. Holding up okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine. The Yankees have won the World Series. That's quite something.
Someone took notes, yes.
Orange zest and chicken breast, isn't that something? I must confess, I am not one for the sports. What I am one for, though, is town gossip, Mr. Bankerton. You know, it's quite something working on a line. You do a whole lot of listening, not a lot of talking. And I've heard that your father has been in business talks with old Francis Spillman about possibly buying the mine. Is there any truth to that?
I mean, that's not a secret. He's told, everyone in the plant and in the mines that, these are things we're working on and considering and probably will be moving forward with.
Well, that's interesting, because I heard from some of the Spillmans that they did not care for the offer your family made them. Thought you were lowballing them.
Winnie, as you bring this up, the plate of the pie just starts slowly rotating on the table.
I love it. Yes.
Stir the pot.
I know. See, that's a good one. It's magnets, right? For the spinning and the floating.
Oh, Mr. Bankerton. And I like wave my hand underneath the plate. Spooky things are very real.
Right, of course. But magnets, right?
She just kind of takes a drag of her cigarette, kind of blows smoke out the corner of her lips, and she says, "Lowball in the Spillmans, right?"
It spins a little faster.
Look, all I'm saying is that some people in this town who, like yourself, are not as inclined to believe the supernatural may have an idea that the drawing could be rigged. And if they were trying to send a message to your family as a threat, it would be a darn good threat to pick one of yours, especially a little tyke, to go sit out in the woods all night.
The plate drops to the table.
Are you saying you think the Spillmans bought some magnets and did some trickery of their own?
No.
Now I think what she's trying to say is that, because we were,
you pull
course,
up a chair.
Like, yeah. Pull up a chair for, Ron pulls up a chair for Lita. And then, of course, I pull up a chair for myself. And I say, now I think what Winnie here is trying to insinuate is that the Spillmans might have had some sort of effect on your son being chosen tonight for the drawing?
Now, Ron, that's just what I've heard some folks say. I, of course, believe it is a fair-ish tradition, and I happen to believe that our regulars are part of a supernatural community, and I am not ashamed to admit I even believe in the witch.
Oh.
Not the witch again. It's magnets, right?
Now, Mr. Bankerton, the witch is very much not magnets. She's part of an old storied tradition.
As you start talking about this, Ron and Lita, the neon lights from outside, like, they just seem to be buzzing louder than usual.
Oh, interesting. Hmm. Yeah, what do the regulars think about the witch, I wonder? Interesting.
I think we're finding out.
Ron and Lita, let's tie our lips with shoestrings. Let's not be too insensitive. Now, just because I believe in the witch does not mean that I think your son will be harmed. Nobody's ever gotten more than a scraped knee at the Harvest Festival. They go in the woods, they hang out, you know, they usually fall asleep and wake up in the morning. I'm sure he's a fine young man. How old's your boy?
He's right about 10, I think, now.
You think?
Yes.
Oughtn't you to know?
I mean, his mother keeps track of the details.
This is parenting at its finest, I must say. I do declare.
Well, listen, I've seen 10-year-olds do marvelous feats more than camping, so I just would like, as a concerned neighbor, to plant the seed that perhaps you might want to take up some umbrage with the Spillman family.
Right. The cook at the diner thinks I should fight. Noted.
Head chef, thank you. And your chicken cordon bleu was cooked to perfection, might I add. And I grab my cigarette, I take the pie back, and I fucking walk back to the line.
Chip, I think at that, your attention turns back to your plate of food, and, like, you've noticed that, like, suddenly the, like, sauce on the chicken cordon bleu, like, it just looks like it's gelatinous now, and, like, you touch it and it's cold. It was not like that a minute ago.
Well, that's strange. I didn't think you could put magnets inside of food. I guess we've been talking for a while.
Lita, what does this man think magnets do, I wonder?
Yeah. And I think we might both go back to our still piping hot plates of food.
Yes, yours are still definitely very warm.
Seeing that and taking some pity on a young fool, Ron, I think, will kind of like take his plate over, and it's like it's half eaten steak and eggs, but and we'll kind of like walk it very carefully to Chip's table.
Now, son, it looks like your cordon bleu is blue in the face because it's so cold. Would you like to trade?
Aw. You notice that the lights aren't making that buzzing noise anymore.
Interesting.
But I didn't talk about the witch. Christine, I'm taking notes and they make no sense and you're doing this to me. I want you to know that.
You were nice. Did the ghost just like you being nice? I'm not that hungry anyway. That's all right, sir, but I greatly appreciate it.
Rodolphus, but my friends call me Ronald.
Everyone roll me another round of D6s.
Oh, but Christine, nothing happened last time that I know about.
Ooh, lots of things happened. Oh. What are you talking about?
Oh, I rolled a 1.
Okay, great.
I've also rolled a 1.
Interesting. Jacob, we're twinning.
Yay.
I also rolled a 1.
Really?
You did? All of you did? Yeah. Wow, okay. Interesting. Ron, you head back to your table with your plate of steak, and was there eggs and just a lot of meat?
Yep.
It's still warm. You bring it back, you sit down with Lita, and as you sit down, you notice out the window there seems to be like some flashes of light in the sky, and you think, that's funny, I didn't know there were fireworks at the Harvest Festival this year.
Oh.
And as these, like, flashes of light start to happen, you notice that there's, like, some coalwood dust kind of, like, floating through the air outside.
Oh.
Which, like, it's, you know, that around, like, in the springtime, for sure, they let off a lot of dust because your allergies always flare up. But it is odd that you're seeing it this time of year. Across the diner, Winnie, another order has come in. What is it?
It is, of course, a cluck and grunt, which is eggs and bacon. Christine sent me a million years ago a nice little infographic that's short order egg lingo, and I'm milking that for all it's worth today.
Delightful.
What's milk on there?
It's an egg.
It's
list,
not on
Jacob.
There!
The elixir of the bovine.
Elixir of the calf.
Number 5. Milk's number 5. Just number 5. Do you want to know what 21 is?
Sure.
Number 21's limeade. Why not?
What's number 1?
Not applicable. Number 86 is you just 86 it, you know?
Yeah, it's like it's gone. We don't got it. Yeah.
Why is number 1 not applicable? I don't.
At this list, did fucking ctinsider.com didn't have number 1. What do you want? Anyway, what do I see?
Yeah, it's interesting. As you're cooking, what is it? An egg and a
cluck and grunt, eggs and bacon.
As you're cooking this eggs and bacon, like, you just feel kind of itchy.
Oh.
All of a sudden, like, your arms are itchy, and, like, maybe your back is starting to get itchy. Like, you just kind of have a little bit of, like, the, like, you don't totally know why, but you just feel a little itchy.
Don't hug a honeybee. This is worse than I had chicken pox. Hey, Josie, honey.
Yeah? And she looks up from her book.
Can you, tell our friends here to stop and ask them what I did this time?
Oh, are they bothering you again?
Yes, very much so. And I, like, you know, like, when I finish plating the order and get it out, because we have priorities, can I, like, pull up my, like, sleeves? Like, do I have a rash or is there anything visible?
Yeah, there's nothing there.
I don't like that.
Now, Winnie, you know that I can't just be bossing around the regulars all the time. They have their reasons for things we don't understand. Sometimes they're just getting up to mischief. And I can tell them to settle down now, y'all. And she looks around as she says it. I don't know if it'll always work. Make me a poll.
Oh, shit. Maybe this is good. Maybe this is a proof of concept. Or it could be bad for me.
I'm sure it'll be fine. Nothing bad has ever happened when we've polled.
Never.
A second passes, and you're still, like, a little bit itchy, but Josie comes over, and she pours you a cool glass of water, and as you drink the water, like, you feel the itchiness kind of alleviate and dissipate a bit more, and you are back to normal. Just a weird trick of the regulars.
I think Winnie is a little perturbed.
Hmm.
For a little while, the next couple orders, she doesn't make as many quips because I think, like, she is used to the regulars affecting the diner, but I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that she has experienced them affecting her in that type of physical way. Like, it feels like a line has been crossed.
Yeah.
And she does not know what prompted that.
Yeah, that's totally correct. Yes. You are very attuned to how the regulars regularly act, and this is a little bit more out of the ordinary than usual.
So my fear is justified. Thank you. Excellent.
Oh no.
Ron and Lita. Now what are you talking about now, Ron and Lita? What new topic has come up with you two?
Honestly, I think we've gone full down the road of allergies because, I mean, we talked about the Colwood tree, and that's got us thinking about, oh, what we're going to have to do this coming spring. Oh, we got to make sure we get up on that Claritin Clear, and Mucinex, Flonase.
Lita, as Ron is going on, you feel someone tap you on the shoulder from behind.
Oh, what? I turn around.
No one's there.
And again, has this kind of thing happened to us before?
I mean, it's not abnormal for people to feel touches, but...
Did it feel, like, pointed?
Maybe a little. And it's odd that they're kind of, like, messing with you, because they don't tend to typically. But then, Ron, you feel one on your shoulder as well.
So I think Lita kind of looks back to Ron, like, a bit perplexed. We both kind of, like, look at each other, and we both know in that way that people have been together forever kind of, like, are just in sync.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we say kind of together, can we help you, dearies?
Yeah, and with that unison, you ask, but you receive no response.
Something's fucked up. Something's fucked up around
100%.
Here.
100%. Dear, I don't right know what's going on with this.
Well, neither do I.
When we look at our food, is our food still warm?
Make me a poll.
Oh,
fascinating.
No. Oh, no. Huh. What? Okay. So... I
mean, I'm going to do it. I want warm food.
Is there, see, I, Marissa, know things because I listened to and ran Witch in the Woods of things that might be happening. So I'm is mm-hmm. there a spooky in the is the woods expecting something?
Ron and Lita, your food is still warm, but it's not piping hot like it typically is.
I think we eat up. Like we notice that. We see something is odd, and so we finish our dinner.
And get ready to sign your waiver.
Mm-hmm.
Chip, what are you doing?
Reading the paper, picking up my food, keeping an ear out for any blood-curdling screams or tears, sobbing, anything coming from the woods.
Yeah, sorry, quick question. How far, roughly, is the diner from the tree? Like, within shouting distance, you said?
I think, yeah, if you were, like, really in danger and, like, shouting pretty loud, you could probably hear it from, like, outside the diner.
Gotcha.
The diner, like, does kind of butt up to the woods, and the tree is not that far into the woods.
Yeah, okay.
Any good stories that you're reading there in the paper, Chip?
The new Space Boys launched one of the rockets they've been talking about.
The Space Boys.
The space race, absolutely. Yeah, it's all over the papers. And you are just, like, really enthralled. And you go to turn the page, and you... It's so weird. Like, you are in the middle of turning it, and you get this huge paper cut on your hand. It's like the page almost, like, acts of its own accord and cuts you.
Oh, no.
Magnets.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh, Christine. Oh shit. Sorry.
I'm so curious what your theory is.
Oh.
It's like kind of a big cut. It's like it's definitely a paper cut, but it's like long on your hand.
Ouch.
Ouch.
Josie, do you have a band-aid, I suppose, back there? A bandage?
Oh dear. Oh my. Yes, 1 second. And she goes into the back room where there's, like, storage and the first aid kit is back there. And she comes back out with some Band-Aids. And she's also got, like, a thing of alcohol, like, antiseptic to, like, clean the wound. And she sits down and she takes your hand in her hand. And her hand is so soft despite being such a hard worker. And she takes a little antiseptic and puts it on your hand and it stings. I'm so sorry. This usually doesn't happen. I've never seen the spirits acting like this. I've never seen them harm someone before. I'm so sorry, Mr. Bankerton. Your check's on us. Don't worry about it. It's on the house. Can I get you anything else? And she's just so apologetic as she is bandaging up your hand.
I mean, I was just being clumsy. I'm sure it's no big deal. I'm okay for now. I mean, I guess I'll take some more water.
Oh, sure.
Tell her it's magnets, Chip.
And the pitcher floats over and refills your water cup again. And it kind of, like, it almost fills it over the brim, but Josie kind of is, like, staring at it, and it stops just in time, but, like, your cup is full.
That's a neat trick you got there. That's sure is bringing in the crowds for you, isn't it?
A trick? I don't know what you mean.
Right. It's the spirits and stuff. But, I mean, people sure seem to like the floating plates and whatnot. It's working out pretty well for you, isn't it?
I mean, yes, it is. But it's just how the diner's always been. My parents started this place back when I was just a little girl. And spirits showed up right when we started it. And, you know, sometimes they get a little wilier than other times, but, you know, usually it's just little mischief here and there. And I guess it's lucky. Maybe it's part of why we've stayed in business so long. But I'm sorry, Mr. Bankerton. Are you insinuating something about the business that I run here?
No.
I think when Josie says that, Winnie kind of, again, like, leans on the counter, like, very intently. And she's like, Mr. Bankerton, I would advise that you refrain from speaking or choose your words very carefully. Josie, honey, I feel the devil tap dancing in my bones. Something is not right here.
At that.
Because I think if Bankerton keeps being a dick, he's going to get more than his thumb sliced off. You know what I mean?
I'm like, just admiring your business. It seems very successful.
I think he should keep speaking about magnets and the magnetic fields in with which they operate.
I mean, we don't know how magnets work. We've surely only recently discovered that magnets exist.
We've sent people to space, but we don't know how magnets work.
But we don't know how magnets work.
We put a rocket into space, but we don't know.
Yeah, I guess we haven't sent people yet, but we're sending things into space.
I mean, maybe it was just a really strong magnet, but that doesn't mean we know how it works.
Well, all right then. How do you think all this is working? And she kind of like gives you a sly grin.
Wendy goes back to the kitchen. I'm out. I'm not responsible. I'm out. I go back. I take my other five. I'm out. I can't watch a man die. I can't do it.
I mean, I don't pretend to be an engineer or nothing, and I'm not trying to make you divulge your secrets or anything. I'm just admiring that you seem to have really, you know, found a way to, you know, I guess the new word is marketing. Market it to bring people in. Marketing's new in the 50s, right?
Sure.
Marketing. Interesting. It doesn't bother me, whatever you think. A lot of people have thought a lot of things about how things work around here. And you, frankly, I don't even totally know how it works, to be quite honest.
I mean, yeah, surely you've brought in experts. Maybe that Disney fella seems to have employed a lot of them for his new land. It's
you never... think Disney cares about what's going on here in Spillman?
No, I'm saying there are people out there who know this kind of thing. I don't expect you to know all the ins and outs of all the mechanisms. I'm just admiring that it seems to be working quite well for you.
Ron, Lita, you've been here for so long. You can shed some light on this. You've been around longer than I can remember. You care to weigh in? She's still got that, like, sly grin on her face. You could tell that she is amused. She enjoys entertaining people's various theories. And Ron and Lita, you recognize...
Yeah, marketing.
You recognize this smile. You've had this kind of conversation with patrons to the diner quite often.
We both give Josie a knowing wink. I think we go into, like, a practiced... ghost story.
Ooh.
Well, if you're asking us, Josie, then of course this building's haunted. That's right. I mean, we all know that it was built upon the site of a terrible tragedy. The building that was here before was burned down. Burned to ash with all the people inside it.
Fuck.
I believe it was some kind of boarding house, maybe? Now, Lita, we both know it was a barn. It was a barn with all the ranch hands and everyone that came in to try and save the cattle or the horses. It was a terrible tragedy. The place burned completely down. Everyone inside died horribly.
Chip, how are you reacting to this story?
Nodding and, you know, giving them a knowing smile, like, yeah, good job. That's a great story.
But what do you truly think about it?
It's great marketing. Good job, guys. You know, it's a welcome distraction from, you know, what's really on my mind right now. My son out in the woods doing who knows what.
Jacob, make a poll.
I feel deceived. Jacob, don't pull from the right side. Don't,
pull from the wrong side.
I'll do what I want.
Jacob.
And what I want is the pull from the left.
Okay, good.
This time.
So, Chip, you're right. This discussion, it's a welcome distraction. And yet there's still something like nibbling in the back of your mind of your concern for your son. And sometimes trying not to think about something is a way of thinking about it. And all of a sudden, you hear a blood-curdling scream coming from outside.
What?
No.
Okay, bye. I'll leave some money on the calendar. No, you know what? I'll come back. I'll pay him later. Bye. Go into the woods.
You stand up abruptly and start heading towards the door. Josie is following behind you and goes, "Oh, Mr. Bankerton, can I help you?"
I'll be back. It's just
what do you need?
I hear something.
You hear something?
I'm sure it's nothing, but I'm just gonna go check on the boy.
Oh, no. You sit down. You know what? It's probably just the spirits.
I'm out the door. Bye. I'm gone.
Did Ron and Lita and Winnie hear that?
Yeah, did we hear the scream?
No.
Oh, shoot.
Jacob, as soon as you leave the diner, you're out the threshold. The screaming, like, as the door closes, it stops. And you realize that the sound is emanating from inside of the diner. But when you were inside, you swore it was outside.
What the fuck, Christine? What the fuck?
That's odd.
Josie, I think, opens the door after you and says, "Mr. Bankerton, please, I'm so sorry. Please come sit down and let me get
you." Do I hear, when she opens the door, do I hear the screaming come back?
Yes, you do. But it's weird because it seems so clear to you, but nobody else is reacting to this sound.
Oh my God, what purgatorial hell?
And Josie, like, she's opened the door and she says, "Mr. Bankton, I'm so sorry." And she turns around over her shoulder and she yells, "All right, that's enough." And the screaming falls quiet.
Oh, shit.
"I'm so sorry. Please, won't you come back in? I know you're worried about your son, but he's all right. He's all right. It's just the spirits. They're acting up. You know, it's the harvest festival."
"Okay. Thanks. Could you keep your spirits, wink, wink, from screaming for the rest of the night? Just..."
"I will do my best. Absolutely. If you want anything, I don't know where Winnie went, but if you need anything, just flag me down. Flag Winnie down. Either of us."
"All right. Greatly appreciated."
So do you come back into the diner?
"Yeah, I'll go back to my spot and continue picking at some cold potatoes."
And I think that you are really rattled. The screaming, like, it did sound like Chip Jr. I think there's only been one other time that you've heard him scream like that.
Sounds about right.
As Winnie hears the door, like, open and shut 5 times, I think she would, like, poke her head out, assess the situation, be like, "Okay, he's not dead. Shit's still weird, but that's fine." And so she would just, like, come out holding, like, I don't know, another, like, thing of orange juice or something to, like, justify why she was back there. But she'd, like, pick up the next order slip and just very quietly just start making some salmon.
Salmon.
Made from scratch daily.
As you're doing that, the clock on the wall starts ringing again to bring us into the next hour. It's 6 p.m. Josie comes over to you, Winnie. "Winnie, are you all right?"
No. No, I am not.
"What's wrong?"
"Well, honey, I've been here quite a long time, and I have never seen our regulars act as malicious as they seem to be right now. I'm used to them floating cups, not making me want to scratch my eyes out."
"You know, I have to admit, Winnie, I feel the same. The last time I remember seeing them act up like this was when my parents passed away."
I think she gives her kind of a soft look and will just slide her over like a fresh cup of coffee that she pours and adds in a little dash of brown sugar as a way of comfort. And she looks very, like, she spaces out for a second and she's like, "So do you think they're grieving or they're trying to warn us of something?"
"All right, don't know." Josie also kind of gets that faraway look in her eyes as she is remembering her parents and people gone by and times in the past. And she looks at you and she says, "I think I'm going to take 5. I'll take the garbage out while I'm going. I'll be right back."
"Oh, you sure? I can handle that. There's a lot of scraps."
No. I got it. I need to catch some fresh air."
"All right. Hey, Josie, sweetheart, take 10. You've been on your feet all day."
"I sure do appreciate you looking out for me, Winnie."
"Don't forget your coffee. Gotta warm your heart as well as your liver." Is that how it works?
"Yeah, don't worry about it."
Yeah, so she takes the mug and, you know, she starts to head out. She grabs a bag of trash that's maybe, you know, been accumulating. She takes it and she goes to head outside.
I think Winnie will continue, maybe do a little bit of cleanup in between orders and start like humming an old lullaby under her breath. Like some people do yoga breathing, and she just is like humming a little song that her papa used to sing to her back in the day, just like glancing over her shoulder at Chip and at Ron and Lita. She's a little wary with Josie out of the building.
With that paranoia, make me a pull.
Fuck. Fine. Look at my peepers peeping this tower. Wait, that's bad.
I mean, it's pretty good. Although I think
okay.
That's a spicy choice.
Bottom luck. It is fine.
It's fine. I think it's like in this moment of like, it seems like someone just kind of like stormed out. And, you know, the owner had to go, like, calm them and, like, bring them back in. Mm. I think Ron and Lita are kind of, we're sitting across the booth from each other. And we kind of are, like, bent over, like, whispering to each other. And we're like, poor man seems mad with grief. Maybe hearing things? I couldn't really catch what he was speaking of. Lita, did you happen to hear it?
I think he was saying that he heard a scream. I didn't hear anything like that.
And Lita kind of is like looking around the diner with like a new, like this place is home. It's never been, the regulars have never felt unsettling. Mm. And it's kind of like looking at a space that you knew for so long as one way. And it's now something a little bit different. Not different enough where you don't recognize it, but it's off. It's like those like vaguely sinister photos online.
Yeah.
Or like one of those ones where it's like when you see it, you'll shit bricks. but it's the 50s, so of course no one talks like that. And they
people talk like that.
You know.
That's fair. Lita's just kind of looking around, and I'm not terribly sure. Maybe we should stay here just a bit longer than usual, just to kind of make sure that Josie's okay.
Ron, like, nods. I wasn't planning on doing anything else tonight, but sitting across from you, so happy to stay here longer.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. I think with that sense of concern and discord and things feel out of place, even in this place that has for so long felt like a second home. Make me a pull.
Ooh.
Jacob, a pro tip for you in the coming moments after this.
Don't have a good monologue?
Just don't have a good monologue. Just, you know, just be like, yeah, and I sat there and I waited.
I promise it doesn't have to do with the monologue. It has to do with, like, certain things that were said. It's not just that you said a monologue. I have a method to the madness here.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Jacob, don't monologue. Just be like, I sat there and nothing interesting happened.
Nothing happened.
Sounds great to me.
This is very Snick and Snoodle of you. Okay.
No, this is all Snick. This is all Snick.
Ron and Lita, your concern is not misplaced. Because as you're talking about staying a little longer to watch after Josie, from outside you hear metallic bang, bang, boom.
What?
And everyone has heard this.
I run out the back.
We get up.
I throw down my shit. I run out.
I mean, we're shuffling.
I follow.
You push through the back room. Normally, patrons are not allowed back here, but this seems to be an extenuating circumstance. Winnie, you push open the door. It creaks open. You look and you see down the few steps that it takes, the diner has been elevated slightly. There is a set of stairs that lead to the dumpster area. Down at the bottom of the steps, you see Josie. She is kind of crumpled up a little bit. She is holding the back of her head, and her arm is at an angle it shouldn't be.
Fuck.
And the wind picks up, and it picks up and picks up, and it becomes stronger and stronger, and that coalwood dust is being blown around, and it's getting caught in a little bit of a whirlwind as you're in the corner of this back area of outside the diner.
the wind whips little bits of debris and pebbles up, and they sting your skin as they hit you. And it pushes further into the forest, in towards the sentry tree. You have such a sense of foreboding. This is not how the spirits here typically act. This is more than magnets. This is something else entirely. And the proprietor of the broken yoke is crumpled at the base of the steps, and you know that the dinner rush is about to begin. And that's where we'll leave off for tonight.
Oh, no.
What? It's got to be a really big magnet.
Who are we sponsored by? Who are we sponsored by? Snick and Snoodle.
This episode of Dread and Breakfast brought to you by the Snick to my Snoodle, Marissa.
Oh, that's cute.
Aww, I'm the Snick. They love each other.
I'm the Snick.
Thank you for listening to Dread and Breakfast. Our theme song is composed by Morgan Thomas Mills and samples music courtesy of the American Folklife Center, Library of Congress. We'd also like to thank Jacob Smith for composing an original song for the season that we featured in this very episode. You can find links to all of Jacob's creative projects in the episode notes. A full list of our sound credits and content warnings are also linked in those there notes, along with a bunch of other fun stuff. Marissa spends a lot of time writing those, so go check them out. It's some nice little Easter eggs in there every now and then. The only thing better than going to a diner is going to a diner with a friend, and the only thing better than listening to our podcast is listening along with a friend. So tell your friends to go listen to the show, give us a rating and a review, tell us what would you order? What's Winnie going to be whipping up for you when you pay a visit to the Broken Yoke? Our diner extravaganza will continue in 2 weeks. In the meantime, I'm going to go find me a milkshake because I've been craving one this entire time. See you later, alligator.